Gimme, 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 gimme that cantaloupe.
3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Bingo! Showtime!
That's kind of fucking weird, but okay.
Are you making egg foo young in the kitchen? Sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are linking bad. For the stream link, go direct to DLNGS.org. And the IC channel is a linuxlink.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1011 of Link's Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
I'm mostly here.
Yeah, and Wow. So just continuing on at work with the workload identity migration, and still like plugging away at this WordPress 6.2.2, which is gets almost ridiculous at the at trying to get this damn thing out that I identified a problem which was rather bizarre. It was with the block editor has the way that it works, and I don't know if you guys have used WordPress in the past year or two, a couple years since they switched to Gutenberg, and they have what's called the block editor. And what it is instead of it just being like kind of a just plain text entry canvas where you can drop an image in or whatever, everything is done in blocks. So you have like a paragraph block, and you have an image block, and you have videos and stuff like that. There's one that's called the pull quote, which was one of the last blocks that I tested after we had gotten the, I'm going to say it was, oh yeah. So when we hammered out the issue with the informational page that had the print inches on it, which no longer worked, the pull quote, which is a custom block that we created, shared similar code with a bunch of other custom blocks that we have created. But unlike all the other blocks that seem to be working just fine, you have two fields in a pull quote. One is the actual quote, and the second field is the attribution. And you can create a new quote, but if you went and tried to update that quote, it would delete it. Which was really bizarre. So we figured out, with help from other people, obviously, we figured out that what was happening, well, we never truly figured out why it was being deleted, but we figured out that when you click the update button, what ended up happening was it would go through an action. So there's a function called useEffect, and what you'd say is, use this effect or use this function when this event happens, like on like opening a block or closing a block or whatever. It would fire off this function, and we noticed that what it was firing off, and it was essentially working as a cancel. And so what I think, kind of having been on the other end of this, is it was built in that if you went to create a block and you didn't save the block, you just clicked cancel, instead of it adding an empty block there, it would just remove it entirely. And the way that it did it is if you hit the cancel button and it would go in and it would look at the active state of what it pulled in from what was originally on the server. So when a page loads and if there's a pull quote in there, it would pull that information in, so it would be in the state that it had that information. When you're creating a new pull quote, it has no indication that a pull quote ever existed. So if you were to cancel off it, it tries to go and get the original information from the pull quote on a cancel, and if it doesn't exist, it will just remove that block. But what was happening was the cancel was being called before it was saving, or it was saving it, but it was calling cancel. So before it refreshed the information on the page with the saved information, it was calling cancel. And I think that the cancels noticed that there was no original information and deleted the block. But once we fixed that part, the next thing that was happening is if you would go in and update the block and hit save, it would just revert back to what the original content was in there. But if you refresh the page, it would have the updated content. So it was, and cancel, so cancel worked fine. Save was not updating the state to show the new information, and if you clicked off the block, it was operating like a save without actually saving it, that it would show the old information. And then when we fixed that, what broke was clicking off the block. Instead of it reverting back to the old information, it was still retaining the new information that you typed in there. But if you refresh the page, it would work. So it was like it didn't make any sense in the fact that this thing had been working and other blocks that we have are working just fine. And all of a sudden, it just changed. And we didn't have to change the code for the other stuff. But it was a lot of little things like that that have been pissing me off with this upgrade. And it seems to be every time I get one thing fixed, then I'm back to trying to fix our integration tests, which, again, what I believe is happening is kind of a race condition, for lack of better words. Like, a lot of times in the past, the issues that we had with our integration tests, because people sometimes, when they write the integration tests, they don't stub out the content. And instead of actually making a live call to whatever service that you need to pull in information that you may be doing or to save something, ideally you should intercept those and mock those calls out with dummy data and have it return that dummy data, or so it's set like that. Otherwise, you're at the mercy of wherever it is that service that you're trying to connect to and call, and run the risk of having test timeout because they exceed network, because the network is slow or it's exceeding the timeout value to get everything that you need back. And that becomes problematic. But also what I've started to notice is, and usually you can see that being a problem where you have tests that fail, suddenly pass without any changes, and then suddenly start failing again, and they're intermittently failing and succeeding, and more tests pass in one place than in another, and you're not actually changing anything. So that usually indicate a good indication of a network problem. But on top of that, it appears that we were also having, for lack of a better word, an extraneous click problem, because we're using Cypress, and so you can emulate in code how a person would use the page. So you're looking for classes that are set on elements, like a div element or whatever, a div tag. And sometimes those classes only exist if you perform a certain action, like click on a page, click on a button, or click on a section that would pop it open. And it looked like what was happening was, before, when the page would load in, people, you know, it would have that popped open and it would stay open. And now with this update, something changed that I would notice that it would load the page in with an open and then suddenly it would close. And fixing little things like that were really hard to track down. But I guess the frosting on the cake for me today was that I had gone through and tested everything that I thought of that I could test. And everything seemed to finally be working. We got the test, the integration test working, linting's working, unit tests are working, functionality, it seems to be working just fine. And I handed it off to a teammate so that he has done a lot more testing and stuff and with this than I have. So let's let him have at it, because we want to make sure we've thoroughly tested it before it goes to production. And he finds, and I didn't even notice this, but in between each block section, if you move the mouse into that space, you can catch a little popover that would show up that allows you to, if you click on it, there, it's like just a line with a plus in the middle of it. And it's supposed to be evenly spaced between the two blocks. And if you click on it, it'll allow you to insert another block there, or you can edit whatever, like edit certain things of the existing block, depending on what type of block it is. And what was happening is that instead of it being centered, it's like pushed into the bottom block, the block underneath it. So it's either like the bottom block, the block underneath it is pushing into this little popover, or I don't know. I spent half a day trying to figure out how to frick this thing actually works. I can't tell if it's our code or if it's WordPress 6.2 code. It's so damn confusing. Although I will say the developer tools are very helpful for trying to tease this stuff out. Unfortunately, this one's still very problematic. So that's been very frustrating. I'm not liking having to do these upgrades. Such a pain in the ass. I feel every time we want to upgrade something, just something little changes that causes such big problems down the line. Anyway, that's neither here nor there, the joys of WordPress. Joe, get this, right? Are you still there? What happened to Joe?
I don't know. You mean he's working out? We're on call.
Oh, bummer. I was going to say something to him. I'll wait till he comes back for this other part, but man, I'm not digging the technology, man. not these days. And what makes it also tough is I feel bad, like sometimes hitting up some of the other teammates because there's a lot of purse tightening and stuff like that, and you know, places are laying off people and things like that. Now, luckily, where I'm at, our team has really been spared a lot of layoffs. And we were a pretty kind of tight team to begin with, but instead of layoffs that would impact us, which it was really kind of tough to do, there were a couple of positions that they were going to fill that they haven't, So I think that kind of helped with certain things. One of our team members went off into another team, and then in the past couple of months, two of other team members have gone on to other places, and so they haven't filled those positions back in yet. And there were some contractors that we had that they're no longer working with our team. So it's made our team has kind of lost almost a third to a half of our members, not because they got laid off though, which is a good thing, you know. I guess it's a good thing, but it's kind of tight, and I hate to take away other people, because there's team members that we have that are 1,000 times better at front end development stuff than I am, and knows a lot of that. The intricacies of the, because they were instrumental in building a lot of that. While I was futzing around on the infrastructure side, they were working with the code. So it makes it challenging. It does.
Yep. But
here we are, Joel. Here we are.
Yeah, I feel blessed in that. I think our team is understaffed, to be honest. Because here's the deal. Like, one day this week already. Now, I have. On the U.S. side, I got myself and two other teammates. That's it, all right, for all of North America, because our product is primarily North America, all right. There's a couple in Canada, which is still North America, and some in LAC, mostly still North America, but that's the gist of it. And his wife, her surgery is coming up. Next week, I think it is. She has a pretty heinous breast cancer right now. So, and not to mention the fact, when your loved one has breast cancer, you ain't fucking right in the head for that matter, you know. So, I mean, because I can't imagine. I mean, you know, I know I watched my father-in-law taking care of my mother-in-law. And his second wife, because he lost both those ladies to cancer, so he's kind of screwed up. So he had to take off because he had like the pre surgery appointment this week, all right. And so he had to take half a day off. And then this other guy, he decides, oh, I'm gonna be, you know, I don't feel well, I can't work today, so. Guess who had all of North America for a full day? 12 hours. You? Yeah, of course. And then today, the guy with whose wife has cancer, he ate something and it didn't agree with him or something, so he had to go throw up. It's like, oh. And then the other guy, he's offline on Slack all day, and I'm like, hey, can you guys take this? I'm in the busy pulling down logs for another client, you know, crickets. And I'm like, what the hell? And I'm like, I might as well be the only person working. Not to mention the fact that, like, Monday, and this is why I ordered another phone, because I found out I'm actually eligible for one. I had to go sign more papers for my son's car, and that actually resulted in our payment going lower than it was when we had the other car, which is good. But we had a client that had an incident, right? My phone didn't go off, and I don't know if it's because Apple thought I was driving, very likely. But I go into the app and try and look in the app and see what the page was. And I couldn't get to anything. Lo and behold, after I applied Apple's update that they pulled, they had one of those rapid security response updates, the second one. They've only ever done a couple of them. And apparently they pulled it because of some other issues. So, but that's not why. But after that update, for some reason, my cellular data was disabled. I'm like, so, and they messed around with phone work phone replacement policies. I think it's like 4 years or something like that. I had this one since 2019, probably the longest I've had of any phone, work or non-work. You know, so it's time. So I ordered that. But suffice it to say, my secondary did not pick up the page, so it cascaded to my boss, who was still in Bangalore. In fact, she was in the process, like today she is flying back to the U.S., all right? But it woke her up at 3 in the morning. And come to find out that one of my client's listeners ran out of Java Heap. Yeah, then if you look at how many servers they have, you're like, what in the heck were they? Why were they configured that low? So it's just like one thing after another, fixing mistakes. Like we had a disk space issue come up today, and I'm looking. I go in there and I find all sorts of stuff the admin team didn't delete. So I'm like, I moved it over to their queue. I'm like, I'm not cleaning your mess up. Especially since nothing's really broke. But, and then I had a case task from one of my actual teammates, who's one of the application experts. And so we go together and we look inside of things. And of course, that client had a whole bunch of people on the call. So, and then I go into one of the folders that should have stuff in it, and there was nothing in it. No customer data, it was just code that was missing. How? I don't know. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, a colleague wouldn't do that necessarily, you know. So that's been my week so far. But Saturday is my son's second or third attempt at qualifying for a PBA regional.
Wow, so awesome.
So that's a regional, so that won't be on TV. If it's on anything, it'll be on Bowlerfy, I think it is. So, but of course I'm on call, so I'll have to take my laptop with me and my phone. But anywho, and then I'm probably gonna order a new radio Friday, I think. If I wasn't on call and he didn't have this tournament, I probably would have drove down to Hamilton, Ohio, and picked it up directly. That's about an hour and a half away. I still might do that. It just depends how bad the pages are. They've been better lately, so we fixed a lot of them, but and on other notes too, there's companies who aren't getting, like, I think Microsoft said they're not giving out raises, but I got one, so I'm in. Company-wise, I think I'm doing okay. You know, might be ticking off the admins, but I don't care anymore. Yeah.
That's good.
So, it's been mid-80s, mid to upper 80s lately, this week. And real friggin' humid.
Well, next week is supposed to be ugly.
Jackie, over 100?
Yeah, Jackie was showing me the forecast. It's supposed to be like 105, 106. But I guess at least it's not Arizona, where it's been over 110 for who knows how many days straight.
I wonder if you put like a dehumidifier in the garage, if that would make it more comfortable.
Not really.
Well, at least reduce the humidity.
Yeah. But most of your, like, portable air conditioners and stuff are, swamp coolers, essentially, and then you put a bit of ice in them, so it actually increases the humidity, but lowers the temperature.
Yeah, those only really work. Those little desktop things only work well in, like, places like Arizona. But
today it was 103.
Yeah.
The high was 103, and it felt like 112.
Yeah.
It felt like 112.
But you work mostly from your garage, though, right?
Only when I work from home. I work from the office today. As a matter of fact, on the on the drive home, I was working on a headache, and I had pulled up to a stop sign almost all the way home, and I was in my Buick, and somebody hit my rear bumper.
Glorious.
In a Tahoe. No damage to the vehicle, but it kind of just really set off my headache.
But that
pulled
must
over,
be
a... talked to the lady that did it. She said, sorry, I was looking at my phone.
Of course she was.
Yeah, and I saw that there wasn't any damage, so I went on my way. And then by the time I got home, like 5 minutes later, my head was just pounding.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it kind of sucked. And then you guys are talking about staffing stuff at work. Yeah, we have already been told that there's no backfills right now. And then I have a... I have a person that is technically still on my team, but is working on a project because they can't come into the office. So they had to be doing something else with somebody from New York instead of being on the team. So that's one of my second shift people down. And then I've got one person going out on the 19th for 3 months for maternity leave. And then I got one person that I'm not sure how much longer they're going to be working for the company. Also on second shift.
Yay.
Which is going to leave me two people on second shift. So I'm going to have to start some kind of rotation with the first shift people. And that's really not going to make people happy. Which means I'll also be down two people on first shift. Oh, and then I know I got, even when my person on maternity leave comes back, they've still got like 3 weeks of vacation they gotta burn through. And then I've got one person that spent a couple of months out because they're in the Air Force Reserves. So they have all of their vacation that they have yet to take. Which is means that they have to take at least 3 weeks of vacation, like use or lose, so I can't deny it. So that'll also be fun, and they're planning on doing that in, I think, September, when my other person will still be out.
Peachy.
It's going to be a fun second half of the year.
Yep. Well, at least the upside is if Luke qualifies for this regional, I think it's local, so I don't have to travel anywhere for that. But we started talking about, dude, man, Dan, you're pounding on the keys. Anyway.
Do you hear me pounding on the keys now?
I did.
You hear that now?
It's a little bit better.
I don't think that was me pounding on the keys, because I wasn't pounding on the keys.
Huh.
I heard that, too, that...
Anywho, I finally convinced the wife. I'm like, well, we don't have to make any reservations yet, but what do you want to do for vacation next year, you know? And she says she wants to go to Florida, and I'm like, she's never been. She wants to go. I said... We'll make it happen. So I'm like, I think I found a place that we're probably gonna go ahead and grab. It's a kind of a central place that you can go and rent a condo, you know, for however long. And it's right on the beach in Cape Canaveral, Florida. Because I kind of want to go to Kennedy Space Center. I have no desire to go to Disney. Politics or anything. I don't want to be around that many people. Not to mention the fact I think it's insane what they charge for that place. But so that much, so that part is fine. The getting there part is the interesting thing. So it's like, because it's going to be much more urban than what we normally do. It's like Luke's gonna want to go bowling. All right, so from the TSA perspective, bowling balls can go through security. All right, the only issue here is if we fly, even my recommendation to him is going to be that you need to pare it down from the 6 you normally go with to 3 or 8. Because if you're going to carry it through security, not to mention the fact you're going to have to pull that thing everywhere we go. Okay, so it's like if we have a stopover, you're going to have to carry from gate to gate there. Right, that's going to be one thing. And not likely, depending on what kind of jet we fly on, it's probably going to have to go, like, he's probably going to have to break some of his stuff up. You know, stuff he would normally keep in his bag, put in a backpack or something, so that we can go with the slimmest possible bag, so that we can lift it up into the let's see, 30, 45 pounds, if there's three 15 pounders in there. So if we can fit that into the overhead, you know, that's great. It'll probably fill an entire one up, but. So then his bowling shoes will either have to be in a check bag or his other carry-on. So anyway, but if he wants to take all of them, he probably can, but he'd have to – either way, he's going to have to – he's not going to be happy. He doesn't like people to, like, touch his stuff, right? Which – I don't blame him, but he doesn't want to check it. You know, even though he could probably check it and be just fine, I think the bags would be under the limit, I think. And even if they're a little higher, I'd be willing to pay the extra. But he just doesn't want to lose it and stuff like that. So it's looking more and more like we might have to do 14 hours of driving. So that's about how far it is to there. Which is not horrible. I'd probably do it. Even if we had to stay overnight somewhere, but I'm gonna try and talk them into just doing 3, go on a flight, and the other thing too is all the stuff I hear from the read from the TSA says that the 8 gate agents had the final say, which in I've actually heard horror stories where they took the ball and sawed it in half. To see if there was anything inside the ball. And I'm like... But that's technically they're
expensive.
Alive.
Expensive.
Especially with the stuff that he bowls with, yes. You're not bowling with low-end stuff.
It's all like TSA is going to replace that.
Yeah. There's literally a company called like Bowlers Express, I think, that will let you pack it and ship it so it'll deliver it. There, but plus there's the whole people aspect of traveling that I think that my wife and my son won't. It doesn't bother the fuck out of me. I'm like, you know, yeah, I'll put it up through that to avoid driving for 14 hours. But what's probably maybe 2 to 3 hour flight to Florida, maybe. So. We'll see. I'm not looking like it's summer time frame down there, though. Hell no. I'm looking at like maybe like late April, early May. So, of course, the other alternative is you could say I'm on vacation. I don't need to take my bowling balls. Well, that ain't gonna happen. But
not at all, huh?
Nah. I mean, to me, I'm looking at it like, okay, you want to go down to a ratty bowling alley and bowl in Florida rather than go hang out on the beach, go see the space, well, actually, there's lots of cool stuff in there, because you can go the Kennedy Space Center, Cape Canaveral has a Air Force, Space Force Museum, because Cape Canaveral is an official Space Force base. So you can go, there's a museum in there. We could go tons of different places to eat, you know, like an hour away is Orlando, so we can go into Orlando and find a neat place to eat at. I know a lot of those places because I've been there before. So, you know, but we'll see. I like I said, the 14-hour drive doesn't really bother me that much. You know, it might be actually what I may do then is save mileage on my car, maybe rent a car then. You know, then we can get a little bit bigger vehicle than we normally have. But, yeah, we'll see. I tried to talk him into Virginia Beach, which is a whole lot closer. Still, it's 6-7 hours.
Why does he
want to
go bowling in Florida? I mean, he can go bowling at home.
I know. Well, I think he likes to visit the different bowling alleys, and I'm like, okay.
Okay, if you like visiting other bowling alleys and it's not for a tournament, then why not just use their balls?
Because he doesn't bowl with a conventional grip, and that's all the rental, free balls will have. I don't bowl with conventional grip anymore either. I bowl the fingertip. That's basically your thumb and, like, up to first or second knuckle on your finger. Don't go all the way in. You get a little more lift on them and a lot more curve on the ball. But, I can't believe, you know, and to be honest, I know a lot of pros that don't bother flying either. Tom, who's a pro at Wayne Webb's, he has an RV. Well, at least last I checked, he had an RV that he would drive to tournaments, and he goes to senior tournaments now. In a lot of cases too, the pros, you know, they'll just go there and their ball rep from Storm or Brunswick or whoever your ball rep could be, they'll just say, "What do you want to bowl with?" And they already have his grip, his measurements on their computer, and they just drill it right there for them, and they'll use it, and then they'll give them away. So it's only the older bowlers that would probably drive to the tournaments. Fortunately, a lot of them are in the middle of the country, exception of some of them, like there's some that are in. And that's the other thing, too. If he ever does qualify for, tournament champions or something like that, a lot of times those are in places like Reno. And if it's in Reno, you're flying, baby. And you better hope that you have a ball sponsor. But he probably won't.
Yeah, Reno's way too far to drive.
Oh, hell no. Yeah, I know. But you say that, and you're even closer to that. That's still probably an 8-9 hour drive for you. At least, if not longer.
Probably significantly longer. I think like 12.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what a lot of people who live in Europe, you know, they think that, oh, you can just jump in a car and drive down to Texas if you live in the United States. Anywhere else in the United States, I'm like, well, getting across Texas is probably at least 8 hours, if not longer than that. It just depends on where you're going. And heck, good chunk of that, I'm trying to think of it. I had to drive some U.S. interstates to get to Dallas, I think, from where we were going from.
Okay, I was completely off. It is 25-hour drive from here.
Okay, then. Yeah, it's longer than that for me.
Nine hours to Denver.
Yeah. You see, I'm getting too old. Well, I'll drive 9, and I'll do 9 in one stint. I did that when I came, 1 year I come back from self, not that long ago. And you gotta keep in mind, once I get off of 77, and a lot of it is, like from Charleston, West Virginia, all the way up through Ohio, there's a good chunk of two-lane roads. It's not horrible. You know, it's mostly four-lane, but like from a little bit into West Virginia and a little bit of southern Ohio, you're driving on two-lane roads. All right. Then once you get on the other side of the bridge in Gallipolis, it's pretty much four-lane the whole rest of the way. So, and not interstate four-lane, but like U.S. Route 4 lane. So you do have traffic lights here and there. It's kind of like driving from here to, like when I go to Kelly's Island, it's like that. Four-lane U.S. routes, occasional going through small towns and stuff like that here and there. That's only like a 3 or 4 hour drive, though. So, I don't know. I have to look at least for my plans for this weekend, I have to look and see what the what time that R&L opens, and maybe if it's early enough, I can drive all the way down there and then meet them at the alley. Because I kind of want my new toy, because it sucks. We used to have a good radio store in Columbus, and now they retired, so... Shut down, sold, selling off all their stuff. They still quite a bit of stuff they're selling, but it's mostly things like books and stuff like that, some used equipment. Nothing I want. But I'll see. I know it's closer than the other. Ohio's fortunate that we still have two good ham radio dealers. There's DX Engineering up in the northern part of the state, and down the near closer to Cincinnati is R&L, and that way I can at least keep it in the state if I can't keep it in Columbus area. But and I'm the kind of guy that would do a road trip down to Lexington to get some AL-8 and come back all in one day. Gas can get expensive, though. So, a couple of interesting stories I came across. Intel is no longer going to be making its version of the NUC. So the NUC... I'm trying to see. The NUC 13 is the last one.
That kind of sucks, but someone else will make something similar.
Well, that's exactly what they're doing, is they're kind of relying on, like, Lee and Lee and Asus and others. There's plenty of those. B-Link, I think, is another one that's making similarly sized machines that still run Intel chips. But let's face it, though, the NUCs were really cool designs.
Yeah, my grandma just got one, so...
Nice. I still want a Skull Crusher.
Yeah, I've thought about getting those in the past.
But I'm going to be honest, though. You can get... the only real difference between a Skull Crusher and most of the other NUCs is the graphics hardware. Maybe CPU.
Airflow.
Airflow. It's a little bit bigger than the standard NUC.
Are you riding your bike, Joe?
No, I'm in my garage, so I got two fans pointed at me.
Oh, because you can hear the fans, like, hitting the mic.
Yeah, that's why
I keep trying to remember to mute, because it's
really
hot.
Need to get itself a cooler climate.
Yes, he does.
Ooh. Yeah, not I suppose fun. I could go inside, but then there's other noises.
Kid noises.
Kid noises, dog noises, wife noises.
Yeah.
So, the Nuck one is kind of a short and sweet one, but I think one that's probably going to result in more conversation is Sousa is hard forking from Red Hat. So they're no longer going to follow Red Hat directly.
That's probably a kind of have-to thing with, you know, yeah, the new policies they put into place.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. You know, in Rocky Linux, unlike Rocky Linux, SUSE might actually be able to survive it, but I don't think Rocky Linux will. Because Red Hat's like, we want the monies.
Yeah, money, money, money.
Didn't you just start using Rocky Linux, Dan?
Rocky Linux? I never used... What's Rocky Linux?
Oh, it's a Red Hat compatible Linux.
No.
First release was in June of 2021. Version 9.2 is the current version.
Why would I want to use Rocky Linux? Is this... like supposed to be like CentOS was
basically.
Yeah, it happened when they switched from CentOS to CentOS Stream and quit putting out CentOS. Rocky was one of the ones that came along and basically redid CentOS.
Yep. Well, maybe I'm wrong, because I'm looking at here, I'm on their website and I'm seeing that they have some good backing. They have backing from VMware, Open Source Lab, Open Drives. Let's see, who else? Rakuten Symphony, Naver Cloud, Fastly, Google Cloud, Mattermost, AWS, ARM, 45 drives, Equinix, CIQ, and I can't read the other logo. Click on it to see if I can get to it. MVista, I think. Yeah. Yeah, so, I don't know. I think Red Hat could be... oh, and Supermicro as well. But yeah, so they're backed by, got some decent backing, so maybe I'm wrong. But I think that I'm just disappointed in Red Hat. I really am. I think it's not the right move. I mean, it might be different if people were going to be calling Red Hat support to get help on Rocky Linux, but nobody's going to do that.
Why not?
Well, I know I wouldn't. I really wouldn't need to be honest. I mean, it's rare that I have a problem that with on our Red Hat boxes that I would have to go all the way to Red Hat support for. Even our other teammates wouldn't have to do that. And I think if anybody could, like, have their own, basically their own version of Linux that's very similar to Red Hat, but not necessarily binary compatible with Red Hat, I think it would work. I think SUSE can do it.
We'll see. Yep. Ay, ay, ay. SUSE. I like SUSE.
Yeah, I've tried it before. I should buy a new game for my Switch. I hardly play it.
Get Tears of the Kingdom, baby.
Is that the new Zelda?
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Tears of the Kingdom was the first Zelda game that I did not pre-order.
Yeah.
Or have on day one. And I I had no, like, one of my biggest problems with Breath of the Wild. Did you have Breath of the Wild?
No, I don't have any of them.
What the hell's wrong with you? Anyway.
I don't know.
So my biggest problem with Breath of the Wild was, like, I didn't realize it until I played a bunch of other games afterwards that I think did a lot of things better than Breath of the Wild did. Breath of the Wild was, like, really empty to me. And it felt like a dead world. On top of that, there was, like, oh God, like 100 and some shrines. So what ends up, so in the Zelda, in these Zelda games, the Switch Zelda games, the new ones, you have, if you're at all into playing RPGs and stuff, you have essential things that you upgrade. So in Zelda, it's primarily health and stamina. So stamina you use for, like, running and climbing and stuff like that. So one of the things that was really cool of Breath of the Wild when it came out is, like, you could climb anything. And that's great. But in order to climb stuff, you really need to build up your stamina. And what you have to do to build up your health and stamina, stamina primarily, health, there are a couple of dungeons in Breath of the Wild, and when you complete one of the dungeons and beat the boss, you usually get, like, a health container. Like, in the old games, it was like you got to find pieces of the Triforce, so you beat a dungeon and you get a piece of the Triforce and a health heart. But in Breath of the Wild, you can still beat a dungeon, get a health heart, but there are a bunch of shrines throughout the world, and you go into a shrine and it's a little puzzle that you have to complete. And they were really cool puzzles, don't get me wrong. And they also had four, like, special mechanics in Breath of the Wild, powers that you get that were based on your I forget what they called it in Breath of the Wild, but it was like a little switch. You carried around, like, a tablet that was a switch, in the shape of a switch. And so you had, like, it's been a while since I played it, but you had, like, a magnetic hand, I think, or something like that. I don't know. And you would go in and use your powers to beat a shrine. And when you were finished, it would give you an orb, a power-up orb. And you collect four of those, and you take them to a statue, and you pray at the statue, and it says, do you want a heart, or do you want a stamina vessel? And you pick those. And what I found after a while was that once you max out, like, you can max out your hearts and you can max out your stamina, and then there's no point in doing shrines anymore because you don't get anything for it. Like, you can't do anything with the item that, with the power orb that you get. Also, there was food. There's a cooking mechanic where you can add certain ingredients that would increase your number of hearts temporarily. So, like, you could heal all your hearts and then have 3, 5, 10 additional hearts. And that was really cool. But if you've maxed out your number of hearts that you can get, you don't get any temporary hearts on top of that. So that was like, oh, well, that fucking
they
sucks.
Want $70 for that game?
Oh, well, Let me finish here. So there was a bunch of things that chat me about Breath of the Wild. I was not really interested in getting Tears of the Kingdom. I figured I'd eventually get it. But then everybody was going nuts over this thing and saying how wonderful it was. And, man, I got to tell you, I went out to pick it up a couple of days later. I saw they had it at Target. Like, 'cause I didn't want to wait a day. Like, I wanted it now. I didn't want to wait a day or two off of Amazon. So I went out to Target. I didn't have any. And I was like, wait, your website says you have like a couple of copies. And they're like, I guess we don't have any. I'm like, man, what a waste of a drive over my lunch hour. Screw you guys. And then I was like, well, and then I was going to download it, right? But I didn't have enough storage space on the SD card that was in the Switch. Yeah, so you still
had to go buy an SD card.
So I'm like, well, fuck it. I ain't going to get it. And then we were going out, like, we were taking my daughter to her. Oh, yeah. The main reason why I wanted it, because there was a swim meet that night. So that weekend. There you go. So I went out to GameStop because we were out anyway, and I stopped and I picked it up there. And I'll tell you what, that was like 2 months ago or more. Phenomenal game, man! It is a phenomenal game. Like all the stuff that I did, like irritated me about Breath of the Wild, is fixed in this. Although I will say, The thing with the temporary hearts is not fixed. You know, you can't get any more hearts, temporary hearts, than the maximum that you're allowed to have. And I'll go with that. It's not a big deal. Not a deal breaker. The number of shrines seems to be very well balanced to the upgrades. So it's not like I have yet to max out the hearts. And I think I've pretty much hit every shrine in the game, because there's an interesting mechanic in this game. So there are shrines, and there are three levels in the world. So Breath of the Wild had just the world, Hyrule, and this game has Hyrule. But there was a calamity event that happened where there's a sky world too. I forget what they call the sky world. I've been playing it so damn long, I forget. And then there's an underground called the Depth. So there's essentially like three maps. They're all the same size, but they're different. But they're roughly the same size. And then the sky area has a lot of gaps. It just has like a lot of floating areas up there that you can go to in different ways. What I found neat about this is in the depths, every shrine on and above the depths, every shrine that's up there in Hyrule has a corresponding shrine in the depth. And it's a light route is what it's called. And it's named the reverse of the shrine in Hyrule. And so if you found the shrine, you know in the depths there's going to be a light route there. And why is that important? Well, that's important because the depths is completely black. You can throw around some light sources and stuff, but they have a limited range. So what you're kind of have to do is you hunt out these light routes, and then that illuminates a very large area of the depths. So if you find the shrine above, it corresponds to a light route. And thus, if you find a light route, like for every light route in the depths, there's a corresponding shrine above. So now you know if you found all the light routes, which are easier to find than shrines, then you could just go to that area on the surface, and somewhere there's going to be a shrine or something out there to be a shrine. So I thought that was really cool. Like, I found all the light routes, so I know, like, I pretty much found all the shrines. There's a couple of shrines that are in the sky, too. I don't know if they correspond to light routes, though, but I've hit everything up in the sky mostly. Right. So that's cool. And then there's this other mechanic in there where you can get like special masks and equipment from this dealer who only deals in bubble frog gems because he thinks that if he eats enough of those, he'll turn into a great monster. And you can only find bubble frogs in a cave, and each cave has one frog, and every cave has a frog. So when you find a cave, it marks it on your map. When you find the bubble frog in the cave, it checks off that cave on the map. So I thought they did a really good way of letting you know kind of in a general idea of where you got to look for some things, especially if they're really well hidden. Or, yeah, so, and whether or not you found it there. So it's great. I'm really enjoying the game. It's a lot of fun. I'm close to beating it now. I've just been running around trying to just finish some side quests and stuff. But anyway, Joe, are you there, Joe?
Nope.
Yeah. So I had talked about this with you before, but I've been back to running, and so I've been doing running and swimming for a while. And then over the 4th of July, on the 4th of July, I played pickleball and messed my ankle up. So I was like, all right, I got to take a break from running. I'm going to go back to riding my bike. And so my tire was flat, and I had a tube. And so I was like, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put that what's the shit that you get that
tube liner?
Yeah, tube liner. Put it on, because I was like, okay, there's some areas on the rim that look like they might be poking the tube. They're a little rough. They might be poking the tube. Maybe that. Mm-hmm. I figured getting the liner would probably help. And I took my tire off and I went to replace the tube, and I realized that I had already put the liner in there. So I was like, okay, maybe this tube was bad. I don't know. I replaced the tube, pumped it up. The next day I went for my morning bike ride, and I didn't even get like a mile away and it was almost flat again. And I was like, what the hell is going on? So I got back and I took the tube. I took it off and I went into the house with it. I was looking at the tire and I'm like, I don't see us. I triple checked the rim and nothing. There's nothing that should be poking into this. And I'm like, it's got to be in the tire. So I'm looking in the tire and I see a cactus needle in there.
But
it's angled. It's angled in off to the side. So it's not poking the tube.
Until
right?
you hit a bump or something.
So then I start running my thumbs along the inside of the tube, and I found three thorns in there that were like so small. They were like a sliver of glass that you get in your foot, and you can't. It's hard to get out with tweezers because they're like, it's so small. They were about a quarter inch long, and they were just embedded in a couple of points in the tire, just enough that they were puncturing the tube with such a small hole that it was a slow leak that you wouldn't notice it. Sometimes I wouldn't notice it for like a day or two later that it was starting to get really flat. But this was, so I yanked those out and I replaced it. Now I'm back up there again. I think, like, I was talking to my neighbor who does a lot of bike riding, and she uses Gator treads or whatever they are. I might have to upgrade my tires because we have a lot of burrs around here that start popping up in close to August all the way through November. And there are some cacti in grassy areas. And generally, I don't go off-road around here, but it might, if this keeps happening, I might have to do that. Odd thing is I've been biking here for probably 6 out of the 11 years that we've been here, and this is the first like year I've had this problem. So I was very surprised.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I should get mine out. I have a relatively new bike that I haven't rode it hardly at all.
No, I have a mountain bike, but I put the street tires on it, slicker tires, just because I'm always on a road, so...
Right.
I haven't had too many problems yet. I mean, I had a couple of tubes that just didn't last more than like a week for whatever reason, and then, you know, I'd switch them out for another one, and then it worked fine.
Yeah.
Dun, dun,
I've been doing good mostly. I took like Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. I just didn't go. I had a lot going on Sunday and Monday. I just felt like crap, so I took a couple days off. So, but I'm back at it. I've been going. I do about 30 minutes on treadmill right now, but I need to do something. Out-call weeks kind of suck because it's just like I can't feel like once I go on call until I go off call 8 o'clock, I feel like I can't do anything, you know? It's much better than it was. Like when I first started this stuff back in December, it was actually not horrible, but you know, it's still a pain in the butt. And then secondaries, we got to make sure that we don't, you know, it's like I have three other admins, including some from the two from the Bangalore side that I meet with every other week. And that's kind of one of the things I'm like, we got to make sure, especially for the US side, or well, really now it's going to switch back to the Bangalore side, that we don't let the escalation go up to the manager, you know, because that means we're not doing our job, for one. But so that means when I'm on secondary and call, even though I hardly ever get a page, I gotta take the phone with me. So like this week I'm primary, and then week after I'm secondary. So, and then with people getting sick and stuff, I've been on call every other. It seems like I have at least one or two days a week where I have to take the on call because somebody can't do it. But it sucks. But I do, as long as I get up and get my workout in before I go to work, I'm usually good.
Yeah, I haven't been riding as much because the weather sucks.
Yeah, there's that too. There's that too. But it's like,
I love it.
Tomorrow, well, I started not like, I used to watch like whatever the new Star Trek show was. Now Strange New Worlds, Picard was the one before, and I'd watch that like the next, like technically if I stayed up till midnight I can watch it if I wanted to, but even the morning, in the morning when I used to watch it, I used to watch it when I was working out, but part of the problem is it's a little long, so I end up stopping watching it and then go back to it, and then I usually end up restarting the whole show because I lost track of where they were. So I just started watching it in the evenings. But I do watch stuff when I'm on a treadmill, so I try to keep it like 20 to 30 minutes in length. Those are long enough that, you know, if I have to restart watching something that I left off in after I left the gym, then it's not horrible.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. So I hate stopping watching stuff, and I don't want to stand in after the workout's done. I don't want to stand in the lobby watching the for the rest of the show. I've been watching until it's over. You know, I don't want to do that. That's annoying. But it's important that I move. Move. Actually, I should talk to maybe instead of Florida, we'll do Mammoth Cave. I do want to go back there. That place is so cool. Not to mention the fact in the middle of summer, if you're hot, just go on a cave tour and you'll cool off. You might need a jacket.
Where is Mammoth Cave?
It's in Kentucky.
Oh.
It's in Bowling Green. It's actually not far from the Corvette Museum. And I think the Corvettes are made in Kentucky still. Yeah, National Corvette Museum's in Bowling Green, Kentucky. As is the Bowling Green Assembly Plant. And then he wouldn't take his bowling balls because there's no place to bowl down there.
Oh. Yeah, look at that.
What are you working on now?
I was trying to figure out why. Why I can't get to the Icecast server.
Oh, you're playing Zelda as we record the show.
Am I what?
You're playing Zelda now.
No. I was trying to get the Icecast server back up and running.
And, oh, Icecast.
And it is, except I can't get to it. Like, I can get to it from the internal IP address. But I'm trying to figure out why it's not accepting it.
Interesting.
And why does it keep trying to use HTTPS?
I don't know. Have either of you guys bought anything on Prime Day?
Honestly, this year I didn't even look.
Joe didn't look. What'd you say, Dan?
When was Prime Day?
It's still happening today.
When did it start? 11th
and 12th.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Oh, no, I didn't buy anything in the past 2 days.
They had the Pixel Buds for $60. Normally $100. I'm tempted, but no, I don't need another pair of headphones.
Neither do I.
My Iowas generally work pretty well. I also have a pair of Skull Candies.
Yeah, I probably have both of those.
I will say, it would be nice to see what Google's idea of earbuds are, and see if it has, because that's kind of a cool thing with AirPods is it has certain features, not like not all Bluetooth headphones have. Like if I have my AirPods in and I'm watching something on my iPad and I pull out an earbud to talk to someone, it'll pause whatever I'm watching instantly as soon as you pull it out of the ear. Probably my biggest complaint is that AirPods are completely tied to your Apple account, so which is a plus and a minus. It's a minus in that they're also connected to my work phone, but that's also a plus because if I'm watching something and I'm on call, it will stop whatever I'm watching if I get a page. And those are things like you know, your cheap Skull Candies or whatever brand you have probably won't do. Tighter integration with the earpods. So maybe the Pixel Buds A have similar thing.
If you have like KDE Connect and you have it turned on and you're watching something and you get a call on your phone, it will automatically pause.
Okay.
But that has nothing to do with the buds.
No, that's with KDE. And it will, like, you have, I guess if you pair it with your laptop as well as your phone and they're both on, that might happen there too, but I've not found that to be reliable. I didn't know that about KDE Connect. That's actually pretty cool. I just wish I could find, with more consistency, the LG band style that I used to love so much. I haven't found any of them reliably in a decent price range for a while. They want like $90 to $100, trying to say they're as good as buying the Google or whatever the most more expensive earbuds are, and they might be, but yeah, 9 times out of 10, I'm finding the prices like. This Prime Day deal on the Pixel Buds A series is a good deal, but I'm also seeing that the Pixel Buds A are probably going to be, they're probably getting close to the end of their life cycle, and that I think they'll probably bring out a new version for this fall when they bring out the Pixel 8. So, I don't know. Not hearing good things about durability of the Pixel Fold, though.
Might be a little early for that still.
I mean, if you're gonna really want a folding phone, I'd wait and go for the Samsung Galaxy Fold 5, because every iteration they've been getting better with durability. But for me, they're still not durable enough.
And yeah, they're not as powerful as their main line of phones, S-series. And they won't do like video output over USB-C.
Which I don't really care about too much, but yeah.
And they're like $2,000. So they're the price of a flagship without the specs of a flagship.
I think they skimp on the RAM. The processor's okay. But to me, if I wanted, it's like every time I've played with one of the folds or the flips in the stores, they felt like the old PDAs used to feel. You know, like the iPacks and the other pocket PCs.
Dell Axums.
Yeah. It's like, if this is costing that much, it shouldn't feel like that to me. I'll stick with the standard Pixel 8 Pro.
Yeah.
And what upside, though, with Verizon, I had their insurance on my phone, and I had dropped the phone from the locker at Planet Fitness, and it just hit right in the corner, and I had like a very minuscule crack on it, and it would occasionally flicker yellow and green down one side of the phone. So I set up for a repair, and it used to cost me like money other than the monthly charge to get the screen replaced. It no longer does that. So if I break it, I can set up an appointment at You Break, I Fix, and they'll fix the phone. And depending on when you go in, it could be as little as 15 minutes. But when I went in, it took 3 hours only because there was a bunch of phones ahead of me. And he did a real good job, so.
No, when my wife got her screen replaced, it cost me $35, and it took all day.
Which place? A local place that did it?
Yeah, a local place.
Yeah. So to me, it's worth that, because that's how I talk to my wife and my son and stuff when I'm not around, when they're not around and stuff like that. Plus, I also use OnStar, various things I pay for. So for me, it's worth, I think it's like $6 a month or something. It's stupid.
Yeah, I pay for the insurance on mine, and eventually I'm going to have to take mine in and get the screen replaced because it's got some gnarly screen burn.
Ooh. Well, you still have the 10, right?
Yeah, I still got the Note 10 Plus. So it's 4 years. Can't complain too much.
Nope, but it might be getting start to get time, because you're gonna end up losing. How much longer do security updates on that?
I don't know.
See, that's the ones that I worry about more than major OS updates is. As long as you're still getting security updates, who cares if you don't get Android 14?
Pretty much. I think mine is still on 12.
Right.
Let me check.
You got the 6 now, right, Dan? Pixel 6?
No, I still have the 4.
Oh, the 4? Okay. Well, that's long past the update time.
I don't think I'm going to get an update in the near future.
Android version 12.
Okay. It's like my beloved Jide or the Aspen Hybrix PC that I have. Yeah, my Jide's long gone now. It's one of the best formats of an Android tablet they had, and Remix was pretty nice on it. But absolutely no support in the last 4 years at least.
Alright guys, it's getting late and I still got a headache.
It is. So. Take some Excedrin migraine.
Yeah.
Oh, is it that time already?
It is that time.
It's past 10 o'clock. The show goes fast when we have topics.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
See you, Joe. We can play us out, man. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah. All right. We got it. I got it working again. I got to figure out. There's some issue, though. It's like sticking a beep in there for some reason. I have no idea
why. Well, that's weird.
Yeah, it is. It's really weird. But I'm gonna see if I can figure that out.
Let's see. Does Bin Rev exist anymore?
I don't think it does. Oh my goodness. Well, we're gonna play it out of here.
Yes, sir.
Oh yeah, we'll see you in a week. Here it is, your promos. Whoa, what did I do? Did I mute?
I don't know.
Was I?
You know, Stank Dog has a Wikipedia page.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He was born in Newport News, Virginia. How about that?
He don't live here anymore.
No.
Why? What did I do? What did I do? Like, what did I do on this damn thing that knocked out the audio? Oh, it's so freaking annoying. Why? Did it lose its... It didn't lose its connection. What am I doing? Oh, this just bites my ass. Wait. Yeah, I don't know what happened. The audio now. I got the ice cast working. Now this audio stopped working for some reason. It's not one thing, it's another. It's because I jostled the... Is that what I did? Did I
probably.
This makes no sense. Why would this stop working? Let me, so freaking annoying. And I wasn't even working on this computer either. Anyway, let me, okay, now let me see.
I am short.
There we go. I don't know what happened there. All right, here we go. Playing it out.
I am short.
Oh my God. It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called The LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
You know what it was? I think when I was mucking around with this thing, I was going to try and get it on the same system it was always running on before. But the issue I ran into was I moved that sound card over to this laptop. And as I was looking to that sound card, I think I must have bumped the USB connection into it and it put it in a funky state. It disrupted it, which it was fixed by just restarting Mumble. I think I've had that happen before. Anyway, I gotta figure out why there's a little beep going on in there. It doesn't make any sense. It happens like every second or two. Wait, every 3 seconds there's like a beat. Well, that's... maybe it's more than that.
An ice cast.
Huh. Yeah. So, I mean, here, you know what? You can you should be able to hear it. Hold on. Let me So, let me reload the dark of the configuration. Oh crap. It only works if I have the audio. Wait, do I have the audio coming in? How'd I get this working before? How the hell is this working? Ay, 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 hold on. So this should work now. And let me see here. I'll send you the address. And you can hear for yourself. Let me just double check something. Make sure it's running. Okay. Yeah, it's really weird. Hold on. Were you in a mumble?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It never did open up IRC. Oh, well.
So, if you click on that, and it should open up, like, every 4 to 5 seconds, you're going to hear this, like, boo, boo.
Let me see. Ah, I can't reach it.
You can't? What's it say?
Dana, it can't find it. It says... Oh, it's because you mistyped it, Linux.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
Let me fix that.
It's really weird. It's just like this pew, pew, pew. Do you hear it?
Oh, I'm not there yet. I can't, because I can't type, apparently. The linuxlink.net.
Maybe it's a bit rate.
And that's not pulling up either.
How could that not be pulling up? What's it saying?
It's having problems solving it. Let me double. No. The linuxlink.net. Let me do an NS lookup.
Is it trying to do HTTPS? God, I hate that it forces HTTP. Why can't...
could be Chrome doing that too.
Can you just get to the linuxlink.net?
Yeah, it works.
So, is it automatically switch it to HTTPS?
Yeah, and I got a lock.
So, how do you... Why... Ooh, I hate that it... I don't want it to go to HTTPS.
What streams it? Let me... What we'll do an Icecast stream. Maybe I'm gonna install
something. You can play it through Video LAN Client or Empire or something.
Yeah, let me try VLC. I think I have that. Or can have it in a moment.
Oh, come on. All right, so I need to go down to settings, privacy and security. Wait, why is it turned off? But is this cookie settings? Is that the problem? I had to open it in a...
Let me try VLC here in a minute, as soon as it's finished installing. Because for some reason I didn't have it installed.
Wait, did I stop streaming?
No.
No. Oh, I know why it's not. Let me see here.
VLC is unable to open the MRL. HTTP, the linuxlink.net, port 8000, TLLTS.
Why don't I hear anything? Why? Oh, it's streaming. Okay. So, where's that audio going to for M-Player? Oh, that's annoying. Oh, wait, where am I playing? Oh, no, wait. Am I in the... Oh, it helps if I'm on the right machine. Do you have M-Player installed?
No. Okay, I ran VLC in a terminal. Says could not open network socket. The main playlist is empty. And before that, it says cannot resolve the Linux. Oh, hold on, let me fix this. It says the Linux.
All right. So why? For size device input sample. Let's drop the sample rate down to that. Does that work? Testing. 1, 2, 3, testing. Here we go. No, damn it. Why is it throwing a beep in there? That's really weird. What's the bit rate? What should I drop? Let's drop the bit rate. I don't think that any of this stuff should be affecting it. That's really, wait. Oh crap, it's still there. That is really weird. All right, anyway.
Oh, I just heard it. Yeah, I finally got it to work. It's going boop, boop.
Yeah, I don't know where that's coming from. I don't...
That is weird.
Yeah. I gotta work on that. I've been trying to figure out how it's even getting. Where's it? Oh, yeah, that's, no. Yes. No, this. I don't know, man. I am so confused. Anyway. Alright. I gotta stop this.
Yeah. Yeah, just to confirm, though, I did hear the boop. It's like, yeah. like a teardrop sound or something. I don't know. It's weird. I did hear myself, and it was pretty clean, too. You know, like unplug and replug the dongle because I'm using a Logitech headset. Rebooted once. What I ended up doing this time was I shut down, took the dongle out, started it. All right. Then once I started it, I opened up the sound panel, tested the internal speakers. Those were working. Then plugged the dongle in, tested that out, then it was working. Then opened Mumble, and then opened my browser in that order. And now I can play a video in the YouTube. I can talk on Mumble, and everything's working as it should be. There are times, though, where I've gotten it working in Mumble, but then, like, unless I completely shut the browser and everything down and do weird stuff, I couldn't get YouTube to play music or play sound. So everything's working now, so hopefully I don't have to do that. Because sometimes I'll go right after the show, I'll go in to watch a video or two before I head downstairs. But got a new work phone coming. I'm sticking with the iPhone just because I hardly use it and I want it to work. And the Android they give you is a fairly low-end Samsung. Granted, they're a generation behind now, soon to be two generations behind by the time it gets here because it's iPhone 13.
Yeah.
Red Hat stuff. No more Nux.
Oh, let's get this underway.
And tomorrow's bachelor's night, so I don't know what I'm gonna eat.
Hooters.
We ain't got none of those anymore.
Joel would get Hooters delivered, Uber. Or DoorDash Hooters, right?
No, if we actually had one, I could go. No, I'll say that I'm going down to Dad's before the... I'm going to basically go down by myself right before Christmas. Family will meet down there. I've got to spend some time with Dad, hang out with my dad and my brother. We'll probably go to... They have both the Hooters and the Twin Peaks. You ever heard of Twin Peaks?
No.
It's another restaurant.
What are they? Chicken wings too or what?
No. I'm trying to think what they are. American food, it says.
Well, that narrows it down, right?
Yeah, right.
Because that's just like fried chicken, well, mac and cheese, and
well, you go to their webpage. Yeah, I bet you it's that kind of stuff. But and then the waitresses, instead of in like a t-shirt, they got a flannel shirt tied at the boob.
Oh, okay. I think this place is starting to sound familiar.
We used to have, there was another one we used to have that was around that had like Irish pub style food, and I can't remember. Oh, Tilt a Kilt. That's the one. I don't think they have one of those. I think we do. A lot of that kind of restaurants are up on the other side of town. We get like the only new restaurants we seem to get are like fast food. I think we're going to be getting a BW3 Buffalo Wild Wings. We already had one, but it's on the other side of town.
Oh, man.
But they're okay. They're not my favorite wings. There's a local chain that's called Roosters. Much better. And what they do an interesting thing. If you don't like, if you want like something hot, but you don't want it, oh my God, hot. Like, say you want a habanero sauce, but you don't. You want to kind of temper it. They'll let you mix sauces with your wings. So they're pretty decent, though.
Oh, Twin Peaks looks like a TGI Fridays.
It kind of does, don't it? Yeah.
But just looking at their menu.
Yeah.
You got tacos.
Tacos. I've been hooked on them. It's one of the smaller things they have, but Taco Bell Chicken Chipotle. Not the crispy one, but they have a one with like a grilled chicken in it with a chipotle sauce.
Wait, what are you talking about? What place now?
Taco Bell.
Oh, Taco Bell. I thought you were still talking about Twin Peaks. I didn't know.
Oh, hell, I've never been there. I'll probably go down when I'm with my dad. But or actually, they have a good Mexican restaurant down there, too. Yeah, the Hooters they go to is like just practically down the street from UT campus, and yeah, the view is good. And they're one of the better Hooters that I've ever been to. Usually they're kind of a mixed bag.
Alright, let's
Yep.
Let's fire this off for 1,011. Give me that count around, Joel.